Again tonight to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We noticed this morning that in order to grow up spiritually, we are to do two things. We are to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, which, as I showed from the Word of God, are symptoms and indications of spiritual infancy, that this is one thing that must be done. After we have laid aside these signs and attitudes that express our immaturity spiritually, we are then to desire to have a craving for the pure milk of the Word of God. Now, this is what newborn babies must have. As newborn babes, just born babies, as they must have milk in order to survive, so must the child of God have milk. Not only must he have milk, but he ought to have a spiritual digestive tract that is capable of simulating meat. And Paul wrote in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews that he couldn't tell those people some interesting and thrilling facts about Jesus Christ because they were too immature and must be fed with milk rather than the meat of the Word of God. So these are the two things that we must do in order to grow up spiritually. Have you ever said of one of your children, or perhaps all of your children at one time or another, I wish that kid would grow up. I am getting so tired of doing this and doing that. I wish that boy or that girl would grow up. You know, I wonder if God doesn't look down from heaven at his children, shake his head in pity and wonder, and say of us, I wish that child of mine would grow up. I wish they would mature. Why? Because it's important to the work of God. You know, the adult people in this auditorium can get a lot more done in any kind of work than that nursery full of babies can back there. That nursery is generally filled with all kinds of problems. Somebody's crying, somebody wants you to pick them up, somebody needs diaper change, somebody needs burping, somebody needs feeding. It's just one constant problem. And they really can't get a lot done because they're infants. And you take a church full of babies, and that's the kind of activity you have, is burping and diapering and feeding. You really don't ever get much done for the Lord. It takes spiritually mature people in order to have a successful church. Otherwise, you just spend your time taking care of babies. Now, I don't think that Peter is going to simply forsake this particular theme that we see developing in the second chapter of the book of 1 Peter, but he's going to keep on encouraging these people to become truly spiritual people. Now, I want us to think tonight about this subject of being truly spiritual. Sometimes we look at a man or we look at a person and we notice their mannerisms and we think here is a person that is deeply spiritual. And by the outward appearance we say, well, this person must be a preacher, or this person must be someone who's active in the service of God. Sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. And as Brother Goodwin has said many times, that if you were looking at certain preachers who've been very successful and you were shooting preachers, you wouldn't have shot them. You'd have let them go. The because God doesn't choose many wise and many who are successful in this world in order to do his work. The truly spiritual person. Now, there are a lot of things in life that are good, and there are a lot of ambitions that are in harmony with the moral precepts of the Word of God. If a person wants to grow up to be tall and straight, filled with strength, and to contribute to man's well-being on this earth, that's a noble ambition. For a young lady to keep herself pure and chaste, for her husband or a young man to keep himself untainted from this world, for a mother and father to have a home that radiates the love of God and radiates love for one another, this is a noble ambition. But I think the greatest, the noblest of all ambitions for any person is to be a truly spiritual person. To above all things please God. To be the person that we ought to be, not only in our community and in the state where we live and in our nation, the school where we work, or the factory where we work, or the business that we own, not only to be honest and fair and just, but to have at the same time a truly spiritual life. And I believe this is what Peter is telling his readers in chapter 4 and 5. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now the first part of verse 2 is an encouragement, and it states literally, keep on coming to the living stone. And the living stone is Jesus Christ. Keep on coming. It doesn't mean that we come to Jesus Christ once in our lives and receive salvation and then continue our lives apart and separate from dependence on Him. Peter says, keep on coming to Jesus Christ. And I think that's the first thing that God's people must do. And I think that's one of the things that we neglect. We refuse to keep on coming to Jesus Christ. And as we think of who He is, I think the answer to why we should keep on coming to Jesus is an obvious answer. Did He not present Himself to the world as the water of life? As the wellspring of human existence and spiritual existence, Jesus said, I am the water of life. And none of us, as long as we live, ever quit going to the water fountain, ever quit drinking water because our bodies crave it and our good sense tells us that we must have it in order to live. And there's nothing so refreshing as good, clean water. And we must keep on coming to the living stone, which is Jesus Christ, because He is the water of life, and God's people need constant refreshing from Him and in His presence. Jesus also said, I am the bread of life. The bread that we eat is called and said to be the staff of life, or the staff that we lead on in order to sustain life. And bread was an important factor in the diet of the people who lived in the days of Peter. It may not be so important to us today, but it's still a stable element of our diet. And we realize that Jesus said, I am the bread sent down or come down from heaven. And we ought to keep feasting upon Jesus Christ. We ought to keep coming to Him as the water of life and keep coming to Him as the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the water. I am the bread of life. And Peter says, keep on coming to the living stone, a stone which was indeed disallowed of man. Men rejected Jesus Christ. And this word disallowed means more than to simply reject and to turn away from, but it means to reject after close scrutiny or after trial. Now think of what that means. Peter said, disallowed indeed of men, that is, rejected by men, but not after just a casual exposure to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the Christ of the gospel, but men after close scrutiny and after having put Jesus Christ on trial in their hearts have rejected Him. Indeed, disallowed of men. Jesus was rejected, and so shall we be rejected, and the gospel we preach be rejected. We would much prefer to have the opposite of what Jesus said concerning the reception of the gospel. When Jesus said that the way that leads to heaven is narrow or straight, and few there be that go in thereat, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, many there be that enter the broad way. Paraphrasing. Now this simply means that Jesus said, in comparison to the people that are lost and going to hell, there will be few people who will accept Jesus after putting Him on trial, after scrutinizing His claims. There will be those who will reject Him. One of the difficult things for us to do is to let the world reject our Jesus without feeling that rejection itself. Perhaps rejection is to all of us an emotional disaster. We would almost prefer any type of activity directed toward us other than the activity of rejection. We hate to be turned down. We hate to be pushed out. We hate to be found less than we think ourselves to be. It's demolishing to our egos. And Jesus, who did no wrong, who made no claims, who did no activities that would bring shame to Him, was rejected of men. And so shall we be rejected of men. Chosen of God. Men wouldn't choose Him, but God did. Isn't it strange that we refuse things that God chooses? And God chose Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, from or before the foundation, that is the casting down of the world. And He chose Him to be a sacrifice to redeem back the world that would be lost by the sin and fall of Adam. Jesus was chosen to be a sacrifice, but He also volunteered to become a sacrifice. And men reject the plan of salvation that God has chosen. Not only was He chosen of God, but Peter said, and precious. Jesus Christ is precious only to those who know Him and know His Word. Have you been noticing some of the ads lately? One of our local newspapers tells about people who have sold antiques for a few dollars, and had they known what they were worth, they would have sold them for thousands of dollars. And there are in the world today paintings, coins, all manner of expensive and precious items, but people don't know their worth, and consequently they treat them with disdain and with very little attention. When I was about 9 years old, I was in the town of Lynn, Arkansas, population 163. And a lady had some of her household items for sale. She had a large china bowl. And I looked at it, and the week before, one of my friends who lived in Black River Bottoms, Brother Goodwin's the only one who knows what I'm talking about, had given me a beautiful black and tan hound dog. And I looked at that bowl that she had, and I asked her what she would take for it, and she said 50 cents, and I gave her 50 cents for it, and I brought it home, and I watered my dog in that bowl. That's why I bought it. It was a marvelous dog watering bowl. The dog liked it. I liked it. Then my aunt, who'd been to California, came to see us. And as she came in the house, she passed my marvelous dog bowl. And she wanted to know, where did you get that? I bought it from Mary Susan. How much? 50 cents. I'll give you $5 for it. I wouldn't sell it. Not that I didn't like money, but I like my dog. I've still got that bowl. It's probably worth $50 to $100. I didn't know what it was worth. It was worth something utilitarian to me to water my dog in. But to her, it was worth quite a bit more money than that. People are using the name of Jesus every day. People are talking about Jesus Christ. They're talking about being born again. And they realize that this is a fact, but they really don't know how precious Jesus really is until they know Him personally and know what He has done for them, what He's doing for them now, and what He will do for them in the future. He is precious, but only to those who know His worth and to those who know the value of having Him as Savior. Keep on coming to the living stone. Now Jesus said of people like you and me that we must be born again. And that means that after we have been born again, we possess spiritual life. And Peter spoke of Jesus as the living stone. Keep on coming to the living stone. And then he writes, ye also are living stones. Ye also are living stones. Now the Bible says ye also as lively, but that word lively means living. But ye also as living stones. We're made alive in Jesus Christ. And when we follow Him, we become a living stone. In the Bible calls us a spiritual house. We become a living stone and are built up a spiritual house. And this word house is oikos, which means home, or the inhabitants of a home. It means more than just a framework of stone and wood where nothing lives. It has in it the meaning of a place that is habitated. And you people, Peter says, coming to the living stone, are living stones yourself, and you're put together for a spiritual house. That is a house of the Spirit. A domicile. where God dwells in a special way. Like a home. You know, a house is a house, as we all know, until someone has lived there. Tears have been shed there, and joys have been experienced there. And that's what this word, you're built up into a spiritual house. Not a fleshly, carnal house, but a spiritual house. A spiritual home, a place where the Spirit of God lives in a very special way. And we have been built up into this spiritual house for a very special reason, Peter said, and that is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, as living stones erected unto a spiritual house, we then offer up in this spiritual house spiritual sacrifices. We just can't think of church without thinking about the house. The Waldensian people who inhabit the Waldensian mountains and valleys, the Waldenses, in the Piedmont mountain range of northwestern Italy. We know they've been in those mountains and in those valleys as true believers in Jesus Christ probably since 250 A.D. And they did not build a church house until April of 1552. There was not a formal building like we have among the Waldenses until 1552. You say, well, what did they do? They met under outcroppings of rocks. They met in caves. They met in the valleys in the summertime, in the meadows. And they kept alive fervently the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the house that they had was a spiritual house that God erected for them to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, what is a spiritual sacrifice? Well, if I understand the Word of God, it is something that is pleasing to God. Where people do in that holy sanctuary erected from living stones to the purpose of offering spiritual sacrifice unto God, they do something that is pleasing to God. And I think it means it is a place where people pray spiritually, where people sing spiritually, and where people preach spiritually, and where people give spiritually, and where people meditate spiritually. It is a spiritual place. There's not anything that goes on inside the church that's displeasing to God. That is this spiritual house. It's all done for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It means well received by God through Jesus Christ. And I think this emphasizes the fact that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We've been exposed to one of the worst and one of the most vicious attacks on a man in the press, every form of media, that I've ever seen in my life. Bailey Smith, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said, and this is what all the newspapers say, they say that he said, God will not hear a Jew pray. And everybody's been on his case about it, condemned him, criticized him. Even his own brethren have said, well, he doesn't speak for us. But when you read the address that Dr. Bailey Smith made, and you put what he said in context, it's true to the Word of God. And I believe what Bailey Smith said. What Bailey Smith said was this, that unless we direct our prayers to God through Jesus Christ, God will not hear our prayers, and that's the truth. And they just took that one phrase, took it out of context, smeared it all over the press. There's no way in the world it can be righted, because now it has been, people are so have such a mindset now that they're just not going to listen. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now there's not another way other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that died on the cross. There's not another access to God. And if you try to contact God separate and apart from Jesus Christ for salvation, you will not be heard of God. All the prayers that are offered are to be offered in and through and by the name of Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Simply meaning that things acceptable to God are things that come by the way of Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. People say, well, since Jesus died on the cross, every man is a priest. No, you're not a priest unto God. You go to Jesus Christ and He's your high priest before God. That's what Dr. Bailey Smith meant. That's what Dr. Peter meant here. And that's what I mean tonight myself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.